It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegebright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
The General Assembly understood that people are getting these loans, just similarly with payday loans. People started getting them, and then they started getting in trouble, and there was no place for people to turn, and there were no rules of the road for these lenders other than some federal guidelines. So we realized that people needed, one, a place to complain to, a place to go to if they needed help with these loans, and they also needed rules of the road because each company basically made up their own rules, and many of them were very unfair to consumers, but consumers had no way of getting help for it.
Dana Wiggins, Responsible Lending Coordinator at the Virginia Poverty Law Center, explains what to watch and what to watch out for when the new car title lending law takes effect later this year. And during this week's question and answer session, you'll learn what an employer may and may not do when an employee files for workers' compensation. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 91, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's news you can use. Two countrywide mortgage servicing companies will pay $108 million to settle Federal Trade Commission charges they collected excessive fees from cash-strapped borrowers struggling to keep their homes. Countrywide's loan servicing operation deceived homeowners who were behind on their mortgage payments into paying inflated fees, fees that could add up to hundreds or even thousands of dollars. When homeowners fell behind on their payments and were in default on their loans, Countrywide ordered property inspections, lawn mowing, and other services meant to protect the lender's interest in the property. But rather than simply hire third-party vendors to perform the services, Countrywide created subsidiaries to hire the vendors. The subsidiaries marked up the price of the services charged by the vendors, often by 100% or more, and Countrywide then charged the homeowners the marked-up fees. The company increased profits from default-related service fees in bad economic times. As a result, even as the mortgage market collapsed and more homeowners fell into delinquency, Countrywide earned substantial profits by funneling default-related services through subsidiaries that it created solely to generate revenue. In other news, Richmond is one of 18 cities chosen to host an unprecedented national 21st century town meeting to discuss the national debt, the national budget, and the American economy. The nonpartisan community event called America Speaks, Our Budget, Our Economy, is being co-hosted locally by the Commonwealth Institute for Fiscal Analysis and coordinated nationally by America Speaks. At the June 26 event, Richmond residents will come together to weigh in on the difficult choices necessary to put our federal budget on a sustainable path. Participants in the day-long national discussion will be presented with a set of options that are designed to represent a range of approaches before policymakers. They will link up across the country by internet video conference and will use keypad polling and groupware technology to identify views that transcend geography, demographics, or politics. The priorities that emerge from the national town meeting will be presented to the President and Congress. Richmond's event will take place June 26 in House Room 3 at the State Capitol from 11:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Registration is now open, and interested participants can contact Laura Gorin at 804-643-2474, extension 111, or Laura at thecommonwealthinstitute.org. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. You are listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
It's time for the answer to our weekly quiz called, Is That Legal? Last week we gave you a legal question and three possible answers, one of which was incorrect. Here's last week's question. Which two types of bad credit information can be kept on your credit report? A. A bankruptcy that is 8 years old. B. A judgment that is 8 years old. Or C. A past due debt that is 6 years old. The correct answers are A. A bankruptcy that is 8 years old. And C. A past due debt that is 6 years old. A bankruptcy can stay on your credit report for 10 years. But a judgment or a past due debt can stay on your credit report only 7 years, even though a judgment can be collected for longer than 7 years. Later in the show, we'll give you this week's quiz. Is that legal? For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault.
You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. It's time once again for this week's question and answer. We're here in the studio with this week's questioner. Please tell us your name and where you're from.
RJ from Louisa, Virginia.
Welcome to the show, RJ. What's on your mind today? What do we want to talk about?
A workers' comp case that just ended, and I wanted to know what the legalities of following up a civil suit in regards to being terminated while in workers' comp?
Well, that's a good question, and there is a good law in Virginia that provides protection for workers who lose their jobs because they have filed or intend to file a claim for workers' compensation. Now, as you may know, Virginia is an employment at-will state, and you can be fired for any reason at all. Good reason, bad reason, true reason, false reason, as long as it's not a legally prohibited reason. But one of the lists of legally prohibited reasons is you cannot be discharged if the employer's reason or motive for the discharge was the fact that you filed a workers' compensation claim or you intended to file a workers' compensation claim. Now, a lot of employers will come up with some sort of reason or pretext to hide the true reason, and that often makes it difficult. But if a firing occurs within weeks or months of a workers' compensation claim, especially if the worker has been released back to work and suddenly there's no job, then that certainly creates a strong inference, a strong presumption that the firing was due to the claim and no other reason. Did your employer give you at some point some reason why you were discharged?
No, not until the proceedings with unemployment benefits and he contested the issue on grounds of misconduct.
And what specific grounds did he give?
Absenteeism.
And had you ever been warned before about absenteeism?
Only once on one occasion due to a mishap with my daughters being ill and one rushed to the emergency room.
And was that shortly before you were discharged or was that a while before?
That was a few months prior to the workers' compensation incident and the final dismissal.
Well, I would say you'd have a pretty strong case. I would say that it sounds sort of on its face to be a pretext, especially if the last 2 or 3 months you were there, you were not warned at all about absenteeism. And if this suddenly surfaced, that seems highly suspicious. So I strongly encourage you to, you know, pursue this claim either with a private attorney or possibly through legal aid.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
We're here at the Virginia Poverty Law Center, and we're speaking with Dana Wiggins. She is the Responsible Lending Coordinator at VPLC, and we are going to be talking about the new car title lending law. Welcome to the show, Dana.
Thank you.
The first thing I think our listeners would like to know is, what exactly is car title lending?
A car title loan, as it's done by car title lenders, is a loan where somebody goes into the store, they have a vehicle that's usually paid off, that they bring the vehicle title, the lender keeps the title and offers them a loan that's generally around 50% of the wholesale value of that car. They'll loan them up to that amount, and the lender keeps the title and in some cases a set of keys to the car, and the person walks away with the cash or a check.
And what happens after that?
Well, after that, as it is currently, the person has 1 month to come back and pay off the loan without paying any interest. But as soon as that month is done, and sometimes the day, that 30th day that starts, where the 300% to 360% interest then kicks in.
Now, I know you work with the Virginia Partnership to Encourage Responsible Lending, trying to oppose these car title loans. Why are they a bad idea?
Well, they're a bad idea for many reasons. The problems that most people run into is that they think that they'll be able to pay it off in that 25 to 30 day window, but usually something comes up, maybe even the reason that they needed the car title loan in the first place. Some people are trying to catch up on mortgage payments. Some people are trying to, you know, pay off a late utility bill or something like that. And so generally, they aren't able to pay it within that 30-day window. So once that interest kicks in, it becomes harder and harder for them to pay it. The other problem is that they think they know what's happening with the loan, but generally after the second month, when the real interest payments actually start and they pay and pay and pay, they just realize that they're paying and paying the payment that they think they're supposed to pay every month. But that generally includes mainly interest and not hardly any principal. So even after paying for a year, you might have paid 3 times what you borrowed in interest, but hardly any of the principal. So you're right where you started.
And did we hear you correctly earlier that these loans currently can be 360% interest?
In some cases, they're up to 30% per month or 360% APR.
And under the current law, I gather there's no limits on those interest rates at all.
Currently, there are absolutely no restrictions on car title lending. They are unregulated in the state of Virginia.
And is that one of the reasons why this new law was passed by the General Assembly earlier this year?
Well, I think the General Assembly understood that people are getting these loans, just as similarly with payday loans, people started getting them and then they started getting in trouble and there was no place for people to turn and there were no rules of the road for these lenders other than some federal guidelines. So we realized that people needed, one, a place to complain to, a place to go to if they needed help with these loans. And they also needed rules of the road because each company basically made up their own rules and many of them were very unfair to consumers, but consumers had no way of getting help for it.
And we'll talk about those new rules of the road in a minute or two, but next week is July 1, and the new laws typically take effect on July 1. I gather this new car title lending law, however, does not take effect on July 1. Can you tell us why and when it does take effect?
That's right. This law takes effect October 1st, 2010. So for all those people that are hoping that something will happen on July 1st, they'll have to wait till October 1st. And mainly that's so that regulations can be created and promulgated so that the law that was made will be filled in with tighter regulations, and that will take some time to take effect and for the lenders to be able to implement all the changes.
So I gather we have 4 months to look forward to of battles between car title lenders who want lax regulations, and people like the Virginia Poverty Law Center and the Virginia Partnership to Encourage Responsible Lending who want stricter regulations.
There may be some disagreements as to how strict the regulations should be, but we definitely, the law itself was something that both camps agreed to, and so it's not the perfect law, but we hope that we'll be able to work with them and that they'll be willing to work with us to make the regulation something that will be good for consumers.
Okay, well, tell us what we know now. What does this new law do for us?
Well, the new law does a few important things. One of the first things that the law does is that it closes the open-end loophole that car title lenders currently sort of operate under in our law. It doesn't close it completely, but it does close it to car title lenders. And what that means is that now the loans will be closed-end, which means they'll have a start date and they'll have a certain end date. So people will be able to easily calculate, the lender will easily be able to calculate how much the person is borrowing and how long it will take them to pay it off. As it's done currently, it's an open-end loan, kind of like a line of credit or a credit card, so that there's no specific ending date. You just pay it off whenever it's paid off. But because so little of each payment goes towards the principal of the loan, people could pay for years and years and never get anywhere with the loan. In this, with this new legislation, every payment has to have equal amounts of proportioned across the time period of the loan, equal amounts of principal and interest, so that whether the loan is 4 months, which is the minimum term of the loan under the new law, or 12 months, which is the maximum term under the new law, whether it's 4 months or 12 months, the person will have a definite idea of how long they'll be paying on the loan.
Are there any type of limits on the interest rate that can be charged?
The interest is limited slightly. It's still very expensive, ranging from 180% APR to 264% APR. So it's still very high, but it is a tiered system depending on how much you borrow. What will happen starting October 1st is that you'll have, if you borrow up to $700, it'll be 22% per month. Between $700 and $1,400, it will be 18% per month. And anything over $1,400 would be 15% per month.
Well, that sounds enormously confusing. I can understand why they need some time to implement it. When the payday loans were, quote, regulated a couple of years ago, there were restrictions on the number of loans that a borrower could have at one time. Are there similar restrictions here?
Absolutely. With these loans, one person cannot have any more than one car title loan at any one time, and that includes having it on a different car. So you can only have one car title loan at one time. But unlike with the payday law, there is no database to enforce this, so we're still sort of hoping that the lenders and people will be honest so that system actually works.
And again, in the payday lending area, there was a strict prohibition against refinancing, renewal, rolling over. We know it happened all the time. A lot of litigation about that in the payday loan area. What about in the car title loan area? Any limits there?
Those exact same restrictions also apply to car title loans. So no renewals, rollovers, refinances of the loan.
Now, what happens if the borrower is unable to make even these 4 to 12 monthly payments? What's going to happen under this new law starting October 1?
Well, that's one of the benefits to borrowers, is that before they had no idea. They thought that their car could be repossessed at any time, and they were never given any indication if they went to their church or to a nonprofit to get funds to help cover the cost of the loan. Many times the amount would be different but from what they were told the day before, so they owed much more than they thought. So things were very up in the air, and people really didn't have a good handle on what they owed. Right now, so under the new law, what will happen is if somebody defaults, which means they don't pay back the loan on time, they miss a payment or are late on a payment, the lender, one, they have to be, the lender can only repossess the car. They can't be taken for a deficiency judgment. The other thing is that if the lender plans on repossessing your vehicle, they must give you a 10-day notice. And during that period of time, they can't charge you any additional fees or anything on the loan until that 10-day window is up. So it's 10 days from the time they send you the letter, which means it's probably only going to be effectively a 5-day notice. But they do have to give you a notice once you're in default before they come by and repossess the car. Hopefully, what we hope is that that will give people enough time to go to their family, their friends, and get some funds, hopefully from their church or other organizations that might help them in order to come up with the money to pay off the loan.
And actually, that's an improvement over existing law when you buy and finance a car, because in that situation, if you're more than 10 days in default, the finance company or the car dealer can repossess without notice.
That's actually right.
So what happens after the repossession? Has the borrower automatically lost the car, or is there some possible way to still get it back?
They can always still get it back. Under the new law, the lender must give you 15 days notice before they plan on selling the car. So you get the 10-day notice once they plan on repossessing. If it is then repossessed, the borrower still has a chance, that 15-day window before the lender decides to sell the car. They have to give you that 15-day notice.
And if the car is sold after the repossession, after the 15 days is up, then essentially it's a walk away, everybody's square, nothing else happens.
That's absolutely right.
Now, under the payday lending law, when it was, I guess, reformed, there were some reforms put in to curb some of the abusive collection tactics that were being engaged in by payday lenders. Is there something similar in this law?
Absolutely. Similarly with the Payday Lending Act, the Car Title Loan Act, all lenders must comply with the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act as far as collecting on their own debts.
And specifically, what do they have to do to comply with this Fair Debt Collection Practices Act?
They cannot harass people. They can't threaten people who are in default. Many of the same restrictions that are on payday lenders currently. So when somebody's in default, they can't be harassed. If they tell the person, sorry, you can't call me at work, they can't call them at work. And very similar restrictions.
Okay, and if the car is sold after the repossession and, in fact, gets more than what was owed on the car title loan, what happens to the surplus?
They should send the borrower a check for the amount that's over what was owed to the loan company, as with other times when cars are repossessed.
And this law is going to go into effect on October 1. Do you think that it makes it less ill-advised for people to do car title loan? Do you still caution against that?
We still caution folks to really think hard before they attempt to get a car title loan. The new law is not perfect, as with any law, and so we definitely still caution people. It's still an extremely high interest rate for a secured loan, and so we would encourage people to think about what their other options might be if they think they feel like they want to get a car title loan.
And what would those other options be?
There are a lot of other options, but one of the main options we recommend to people is to look into their local credit union. Many times, credit unions will offer loans where the basis of the loan or the security for the loan is your vehicle, but unlike with a car title lender, your local credit union will usually not charge more than 18 to 20% APR interest.
Okay, very good. We have been speaking with Dana Wiggins. She is the Responsible Lending Coordinator at the Virginia Poverty Law Center, and we have been talking about the new car title lending law, which does not go into effect next week on July 1, but rather will take effect on October 1, 2010. Thank you so much, Dana.
Thank you, Marty. And just to add for folks, if they are having trouble with a payday or a car title loan, please let them know that they can call our hotline, which is 866-830-4501.
Thank you very much, Dana.
Thanks.
It's time for our weekly quiz called, Is That Legal? We give you a legal question and three possible answers, one of which is incorrect, and we give the correct answers next week. Here's this week's question. To be eligible for up to 12 weeks of unpaid leave under the Family and Medical Leave Act, or FMLA, which two things must be true? A, you must be working full time.
B, you must have worked for your employer for at least 12 months. Or C, your employer must have at least 50 employees within 75 miles. If you know the two correct answers, email them by Friday to marty@cvlas.org and be next week's winner. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid radio show ever broadcast is now available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral four, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegebright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. What if the whole world could agree on just 17 laws that everybody would follow? The world has. They're called the laws of the game of football, or soccer as it is known here. Tune in next Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. for a special edition of the Total Football Soccer Show as the World Cup Round of 16 ends and 8 teams prepare for the quarterfinals. Join us in 2 weeks, July 7, when private attorney Tim Litzenberg discusses medical malpractice. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show and Law for the Rest of Us, I'm Marty Wegebright.